Hey, it's Coach Sarah, and welcome to Range of Change, the podcast where we dive into the pivotal moments of transformation that shape our lives. If you're looking for inspiration, insights, and real talk about navigating change, big or small, you found the right place. I'm an ICF-certified coach and a seasoned change manager with 2 decades of experience helping people and organizations thrive through life's hairy moments. Whether you're choosing to make a bold leap into a new chapter of your life, or life is choosing it for you, this community will explore how to not just survive, but thrive through change. Think of this podcast as your guide to becoming more resilient, more empowered, and ready to take on your next big change with confidence. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Range of Change, and thanks for joining me today. Today's conversation is a special one. I'm joined by Tunch, a father who discovered his voice as a global citizen through CISV, a global peace advocacy organization he joined as a child. CISV was founded more than 70 years ago by Nobel Peace Prize nominee Doris Twitchell Allen and believes in education and inspiring action for peace, beginning with children as young as 10 years old. Today, we will hear about the important impact that his work with this organization has had in shaping his life. And this isn't just his story, it's his whole family's. Also joining us today are his daughters, Alara and Jalen, who are now walking their own paths within CISV. Together, we'll explore how one organization has shaped a multi-generational journey of identity, service, transformation, and values. Tunch, Alara, Jalen, thank you all for joining me. I'm so excited to speak with you. Thank you guys so much for joining me today on the podcast. I'm really excited to have Tunch, Alara, and Jalen here with me, who are going to talk about the change experience that has transcended generations for them with CISV. Thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you for hosting us.
All right, so I have to start with you, Tunch. You started this whole trend in your family. You became involved with this organization as a young man. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Yes, of course. I grew up in Turkey, and my first pivotal experience with CISV was when I was 16 years old. I was offered this role of junior counselor. We call it JC for short. So it's an individual program within CISV, I went to Germany to represent my country. So it was a very, very exciting time for me because I was going to hop on a plane for the first time for my first international trip. Wow. All by myself. You know, I was 16. So it was just, and then I had never really interacted with anybody other than my own people, you know. So it was very, very. So this is an international camp where there will be folks from 12 different countries. Every country is represented by 4 kids and a leader. So it's like about 50, 60 people in the camp, and then the program is called Village, and it's a program for a month. So we basically, the idea is just we live together in this village, and then we learn to live together peacefully. That's the whole idea. So I went before I took the trip. I decided that I would just have a super open-minded mindset, and then I would just make good with whoever I met. Over there. So that mindset helped me a great deal, actually. So I was able to build really, really good relationships in my camp. At the end of the camp experience, I just came to the realization that we were so alike, and no matter which land we came from, we were just like, we have these commonalities, right, as being humans. It felt like we could live as one big family, learn from our differences. So that was a really, really amazing experience for me. I'm really grateful for having that opportunity.
It sounds incredible, and it sounds like you really embodied the mission of this organization, because CISV is not religious, it's not necessarily educational, it is peace at its core, correct?
It is actually educational.
Okay.
Very educational because it has its own curriculum. That all these programs follow some kind of a structure. The organization believes in learning by doing things. Mm. So it's not like a traditional classroom setting where there's a teacher that teaches you things. It's not like that. It's just like all about different activities you play. It's like, and then after you play those activities, then there's a chance that you debrief and then you reflect on what you learned from those activities. So the children are basically learning without necessarily knowing that they're learning things through these experiences.
Well, that sounds like the best way to learn.
Yes, absolutely.
So I have to ask, you've graciously introduced your beautiful daughters to me to talk about their experience with the organization as well. So Alara, I'll start with you. What was it like when you were introduced to this organization, and how old were you?
So let's take it back like 10 years. I was 9, 10 years old, and I had a really bad dream where I was being taken away from my family to another country. So I walked downstairs the next morning, and I told my parents, and then my dad laughed and was like, oh, well, that might actually come true. And then this was when he first talked about his CISV experience. This was like my first time ever hearing about his experience and also CISV as an organization. And then before I knew it, I was going to one of our biannual mini camps that we have in upstate New York, and I made my dad come with me because I was really scared, and I was like, you have to come with me. And so I went there, I met a bunch of like-minded and also a lot of nervous kids, and we just bonded. And then like a couple months later, I went to South Korea for my first program with three of them. So
When I was 11.
Yeah. And then after that, I just kept going back to every biannual mini camp twice a year, every year. And yeah, so that was my introduction.
That is amazing. I struggled with slumber parties when I was 11. I can't imagine going halfway across the world. It was a very positive experience, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it took some time to get used to being, you know, that far away from my parents, no phone. Also, like, I think it was like an 11-hour time difference. So it took some time to get used to. And I also did get very sick at camp, like halfway through camp. But overall, it was amazing. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. All right. So what about you? What was your first experience with the organization?
So when my sister got involved in the organization, I was also introduced to it. I was 6 years old. So obviously, it was very scary for me. Similarly, I was not able to go over to slumber parties or anything. I was terrified. But when I also reached the age of 9 or 10, I was also going to these biannual mini camps. And then to get myself to go to these camps, my mom and dad, they, you know, we made a bet together. I dyed my hair blue. And then that was the way they convinced me to go to Italy. And I did also go. Some like Alara did, no phone, big time difference, and it was great.
So you were 11 with blue hair in Italy.
Basically, yeah.
You are my hero. That sounds amazing. So tell me a little bit about, I don't know if you remember it in detail, but how did they help you move through your fear? So you start out as a scared little kid on your first trip and you end up having the time of your life.
When I got there at first, I was kind of more in shock. I didn't know what I was exactly doing, what I was there for, because although I did have a good introduction through the mini camps, I was very nervous. And I was hiding behind my leader's back for like probably the first 2 days being at the campsite. And then I understood that I wasn't going to see my parents. There was no way I was really going to go back. I wasn't going to get in contact with them. I was going to be there. So I opened up. I started opening up to all the people there, introducing myself. Everyone was very friendly, and everyone opened up to me as well because we were all in the same situation or same place. So we all kind of understood each other, and we opened up. And once we did, everyone just clicked. Everyone got very close. And that feeling of just knowing that everyone is feeling the same way as you but also happy to be where they are really made us get closer, and that was how I grew into that organization, and it made me much more open to this day.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a really amazing experience to give to your young children. I'm curious if you ever had any second thoughts about introducing them to the organization when you did.
Not at all. It was always in the back of my mind that I wanted to have my daughters, my kids, have the same similar kind of experiences with which I had when I was little. So when we moved here in 2010, before here we were in Miami, there were no chapters in Miami. So I was kind of looking forward to like moving somewhere else where there's a CISV chapter. And then as soon as we came here, I directly connected with the CISV, my CISV family here. And then since then, I have been like serving on the chapter board. I had never second thoughts about having them participate.
Nice. So you moved into something of a leadership or guidance position. You guys are both training to be leaders right now. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
Correct. Yes.
All right. So I have to ask, being a participant, being a leader, which one resonates with you more? I'll start with you again, okay. Alara.
So I haven't been a leader yet because you can only be a leader once you're 21. Mm. But I have been in a leadership role. I was a junior counselor when I was 16 in Mexico. And I think the junior counselor position really resonated with me, and it was a very, very meaningful experience because I was playing the bridge role where I was like in the middle of the ages of the kids that are 11 and then the leaders that are like 21 and up. Mm. So it was really, really cool. I also got to get like a glimpse of like how the kids are interacting with each other, like what they're learning, but also like I was behind the scenes with the leaders planning the activities and talking about the kids like individually and how they're growing and what they're learning. But I think mainly like seeing the kids connect with each other the same way that I had when I was 11 and grow through the program was just extremely rewarding to me. So, yeah.
I get that. Like you're looking back at where you just were a few years ago and now you're in the position to... They can hide behind you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. And Jalen, what has been your most meaningful experience so far?
So I have done multiple different programs so far, and I will be doing more in the future, hopefully. But I think so far being the president of our junior board in New York has been very meaningful to me as I am in the leadership position, and I plan a lot of different activities. I bond with not only the kids, but also people my age. We work together to plan multiple things, even at mini camps or out. And then also just like talking with the kids, learning about them, seeing how they're gonna grow through this program and hopefully be able to do what I'm doing, eventually take my spot on the board. I think that's been very meaningful to me.
Oh, that's great. So I'm curious, since this is something you all do as a family, like so many families start to fade and grow distant at this age as their kids become teenagers, how has being a part of this organization impacted your family?
I think it impacted us in a very positive way. So the reason I'm saying that, we all volunteer for the organization because it's a 100% volunteer organization. We all volunteer at different levels. I'm on the adult board. She's on the junior board. She's kind of grown out of the chapter for now, but when she turns 21, she's going to come back. So since we all volunteer, it just feels like we're all part of the same team. So we all know the volunteers in the organization. We all know what's happening in the organization, right? So we always talk about these things over dinner conversations. So it just gives us an opportunity to like talk about the same subject that we are so invested in. So I think that feels great. Because we really feel like we're bonded over these things, and when we are working towards a common goal, it also makes a big difference. Mm. Because we all like try to come up with different ways to how we can improve our chapter, how we can make a better impact to our local community. Those are the kind of things that are always keeping us busy in our minds, you know. So those are the kind of things that I feel really great about.
Oh, that's so nice. I wonder if you ever encounter parents that are nervous about sending their children at that age off to another country, and you know what you would say to them who you know don't have your experience of mm-hmm. having been a young person in the organization and being so involved in it now?
I think it's okay to be nervous at first, especially if you are not really, if you don't know about the organization much. So I would advise it, them to do their research about the organization that they're going to send their kids with. So I didn't have that problem because I knew the organization inside and out. But I would definitely recommend them to do their research and then make sure that their values are aligned with theirs. I mean, the organization's values align with theirs. Because every organization has a different set of values. For CISV, for example, the CISV is really big in conflict and resolution. And it's big in human rights. It's big in sustainability of world's resources. So those are the kind of things. Through participating in different programs, the children become really very strong in those skills, in those values. So when you ask if I had a second thought about them participating, I never did because I wanted to have them have those values. And I always take the CISV as a benchmark, those values as a benchmark or a point of reference. When I see some behavior, you know, that goes against the CISV values, and I always ask them, is this really a true CISV or would act in that situation? And then I would force them to rethink their acts. So those are the kind of things I think the parents should be very careful about when they choose an organization, either to volunteer or, you know, to send their kids away to an international camp.
That's really smart. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have anything to add? Do you interact with the parents a lot?
Not really, because when we're at the camps, like, it's just parents sending their kids to camps. And like he just said, I'm not as involved in the New York chapter as I go to school in Massachusetts now. So I don't, but you probably do, right?
I do interact with, yes, they do come and talk to me a lot about how their children might feel, how I felt, kind of get like the gist of the organization. But adding on to how our family is, it kind of opens up us all a bit more. As like when we both go to camp, we come back with a lot of things to say, and we of course want to sit down and tell everyone everything, especially our dad. And I think in some way that makes us more communicative. Like we definitely are able to talk more clearly as in how we express our feelings and, you know, tell stories. And it's great because I think it has genuinely impacted me to be able to talk to my parents more easily now, like with everything I've experienced.
Oh, and did I hear you say that you guys don't have your phones when you're at camp?
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. 4 weeks, no phones.
They take away all the distractions so that they can bond with each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it just...
We have a saying, unplug to connect. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, there's no TV. There's no digital
no
devices. None of that. Yeah.
We probably should have led with that because I think that's the thing that we most parents are the most excited. Because I know a lot of kids that can barely be without their phone for a couple of hours during school. I have friends who are teachers that tell me horror stories. And you guys are able to unplug.
Yeah, and it's great because at first it's like you feel like something might be missing or you don't know how to feel. But then after a week, you forget about it. And then when you get it back, you don't really instantly go back to it. You just kind of get it back just so you can get the numbers of all your friends.
Yeah, after my Step Up program when I was 14 years old, I went to Sweden. And because I don't think I had a phone when I was 11, but when I went to Sweden, I got back and I didn't even want my phone. So,
Oh, that's amazing.
During the camp, they are so busy doing these activities that they don't really look for anything to keep them busy, really. So they're always participating in some kind of an activity, learning and bonding with each other, understanding each other, and debriefings and all that. So that they don't really need any of that. To feel good.
And you said learn by doing, which I think is the best way to learn. Is there an example off the top of your head that is an example of one of these activities?
So, he actually did steal my point, but I was I was going to say that. And I think the easiest way to explain that is through explaining an activity. So there is an activity that's done usually in the first 2 weeks of camp, I'd say, and it's done at Village with the 11-year-olds. And how it goes is that each country, so there's like 12 countries or groups, they're split into their groups with the kids from their country, and there are papers kind of like spread around wherever the activity is being held, and on the paper, it just says the name of the, like, a country. So, like, 12 papers with 12 different country names, and every group goes around and writes, like, whatever comes to the, like, to their mind first about a country. So, if I'm going around and there's Japan, I might write, like, sushi or, you know, whatever. So that just, like, goes on, and then every country gets a chance to write something about whatever, every country. And then I think what makes it really, really special and educational is that after the activity, everyone sits down in a circle and just, like, talks about it, which is what we call debriefing. And then that's where, like, they learn and get to, you know, talk about their own experiences while also, yeah. So I think it's really, like, cultures, like, aren't learning about each other. They're learning with each other. Mm. So, yeah.
Those debriefings are very special because every child has a chance to reflect on what they thought about the activity, what they learned about the activity. If there are some like wrong stereotypes, for example, you know, somebody will say, "Oh, maybe you're thinking a little wrong in this area," and then they will correct them. You know, they might have had wrong impressions about something. So they talk through these things, and then they kind of come to a middle ground, you know, where they all stand. So that those are very, very educational, because they all reflect on, and then they can learn from each other's perspectives.
Yeah, no, I see so much in that activity. Like, you have to think, critical thinking, you have to communicate well, you have to process feelings if you're upset that you see a word that you don't like, so the conflict resolution comes through very clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Debriefs usually go really, really long, and I think it really is impactful because it's opening the kids' eyes to different perspectives and, like, you know, global issues. So
it's definitely not for every kid. If some 11-year-olds, all they want to do is just run around and then just play.
Sure.
So this takes a lot of, but some kids are really, really very, they think through these things, and then they really want to discuss these things. So that's why I'm saying it might not be for every kid. These are the 11-year-olds actually, like, reflecting upon their ideas, right? So, and of course guided by their leaders. So it's very intense. It can be very intense.
Yeah, I can definitely see how it's not for every kid, but I imagine if you're starting that young, you can help to develop the skill set with the kids that can handle it. Obviously, maturity levels will vary.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's the reason why when we interview the kids to send away to a different country, we kind of look at their maturity level. Are they going to be able to, you know, handle all these different conversations going around? Don't get me wrong, they're also, like, running games. Like, it's not only about talking and discussing and debating and all that, right? So there's also, like, running games, there's trust games, there's all kinds of different games. So, but these are also in there, you know?
Yeah. And how important is it that you're in another country, that you're, like, actually physically immersed in another culture while you're doing this?
I think it's very important and very, like, very good, as it makes me more culturally aware. For example, when I went to Italy when I was 11 years old, I stayed in a homestay, which is I stay with a family, just a family living in Italy, and they kind of show me a bit about their culture. And I specifically remember the first night that I landed in Italy, they took me to their home, they showed me everything that they regularly do, which some things did differ, so I liked being able to see all this. And then they sat me down, they, you know, showed me what they do at dinner and what they eat. And it was really great because, you know, I'm very used to what we do here, like what we do for our Turkish tradition and, you know, and the American tradition as well. So it was very eye-opening.
Yeah, I think it is very important to, like, get immerse into different cultures so that you're more culturally aware. But at the same time, like the camp and the educational curriculum, I think that's what matters the most. Like, don't get me wrong, I love traveling and like love eating different foods and seeing different places, but I think it really is like what happens at the camp with the activities and the debriefs that is the most impactful, at least in my opinion. This summer I'm going to Philly for a camp. I'm junior staffing since I'm only 20. And at first, like, I was bummed, like, she's going to Luxembourg this summer. And I was upset. I was like, dang, like, I could be going to like the Philippines or whatever. But I think it really is just the camp and the people that make the place. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing that stays with you.
Right.
And, you know, thinking about legacy, like, really, this organization has a long legacy of advocating for peace in the world. Right. And you're now a leader in this organization, right. But you're also the head of your family, and you've now created this legacy for your daughter. So I'm just curious if that word means anything to you in relation to your work with CISV.
Legacies. So when I started volunteering for CISV New York, my original motive was to have them get involved. So I didn't really think further than that. I wanted to have them the same kind of experiences. But as I volunteered more and more, I started noticing the impact my volunteering work does to in terms of community building. It really mattered to me. So, and not only that, but I also started to notice the growth that my children are experiencing through participating in these programs. And not only my children, also the children, other children in the chapter. So being able to make impact in their young people's lives just meant so much to me, and it motivated me to volunteer even more. So I guess my legacy, you know, I'm going to talk about a little bit about the founder of this organization, Doris Allen. Doris Allen, she founded this organization, and she was the Nobel Peace Award nominee for her work in this organization. So that might be a little too ambitious a goal for me to attain, right? But I still feel like I can contribute, you know, to the best of my ability to her noble cause of, you know, living in peacefully with everyone in this world. So it might be like a little utopic here, utopia to achieve that kind of a goal. But I think if many of us, you know, contribute with their skill set, I think we can literally make a difference. So that's what, I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what my legacy is all about. I think I'm going to continue volunteering for this organization, trying to make it better, trying to make a big impact in community building, because it's actually that's what we're doing. Like, we are building a community of like-minded people in this organization. And so we just try to, you know, understand our differences and then learn from each other.
Oh, well, I'm super inspired. I would put you up for the Nobel tomorrow.
Okay.
I know you mentioned that young people often get involved in this as early as 10 or 11.
Yes.
But is this an organization that people can become involved with at any age?
Of course. We're open to everyone, basically, whoever wants to be a part of our community. We will just, you know, welcome them with open arms. I would definitely suggest that they follow us, CISV New York, on the social media channels, and maybe sign up for our newsletter. And then that's the best way to know about the happenings in the chapter, because when we organize local events, like summer picnics, for example, or Christmas parties, we send all this information in the emails, and then they can just sign up and then show up, and then, you know, become a part of our community, and then they will start, you know, building their relationships in the organization, learning more about it, and then hopefully they will apply for their children to go to a program internationally. You know, that's definitely doable.
That's wonderful. And for the two of you, I know a legacy is a big word for young women your age, but are there values or lessons or something about this experience that you hope that you'll carry through the rest of your lives?
Definitely. I think the biggest one for me is empathy. That's a value that every camp tries to teach, or as a junior counselor, like we were trying to teach that to little kids. Just listening to other people, you know, even when their experiences are completely different than yours, being open-minded, asking questions, staying curious. I think those are all lessons and I guess values too that will stay with me. And I think something that I, like a value that I really want to carry is that like peace isn't this big, well, I guess it kind of is, but it isn't this like big global goal. I think that we can really work towards it every day if we just, yeah, talk to each other and, yeah.
I agree with a lot of things that Alara said, but I would additionally like to add on that a respect is a big part of it. Mm. When you go there, you have to, yes, go with an open mind, but you also have to learn to respect everyone, not just your peers, but your elder, like every staff member, every leader, every JC, you have to respect them. And you also, like I said, you also have to respect your peers, their culture, and you have to understand them. A big part of it is understanding, being open-minded and very empathetic. I think a lot of it revolves around those main topics and the four main pillars, which my dad also mentioned earlier, that it usually surrounds.
Also, I want to add that the leadership skills, it's not a value, but it's like a skill that that you get through participating in these programs. We are big in kind of instill the leadership skills in the children. They have their own organization, like Junior Branch, we call it. They run their own organization. They have a treasurer, they have a president, she's the president, and they run these camps. The youth literally run these mini camps.
My goodness.
Just by themselves. Like, there are adults there watching over, but the adults don't really do anything. They run their own camps, like all these activities, because they are so experienced in, you know, running these activities. So they just lead the younger kids in those mini camps. And then they develop on their leadership skills this way. So that's also something that I want to mention, the leadership.
Yeah, like adding on to my dad, like I started off as a very shy kid, and now I'm the president of this junior board. So I definitely think that leadership is a big thing and something you gain along the way. Obviously, when you go to these camps, like they put you in these leadership positions and you learn how to put your, like, point across your opinion, to have other people understand what you're thinking and what you think would be the best thing to do in certain situations. And that definitely had like an impact on me, as I like am basically leading our whole board, our whole like junior chapter, the kids. And it's a very big thing, and it's a very good thing to have as well, I would say.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, because there's so many shy kids, and especially women and girls, you see at a certain age where girls just, you know, all that bright light that was once in the little girls can sometimes just get snuffed out with shyness or fear or an inability to, I guess, just move out of that awkward, nervous stage. And I'm just so impressed with the two of you. You're so self-possessed. You're so easily conversing. I won't even tell you what decade of my life I was in before I could do what you're doing right now. So it's obvious that the leadership is huge and a big advantage of being a part of this organization.
They were like this when they started out. They were very, very shy, especially Alara. She was extremely shy, but she changed completely. Like every program, she added to her being a more independent child that she wasn't before. So, and then she became like this amazing young lady, right, through participating in multiple programs through CISV. So that's the reason I think CISV gives a lot to the kids in terms of their growth, you know, going to those leadership positions and all. So it's just amazing.
It is. And it's like kids leading kids. I mean, it's just amazing that you escalate in such a short amount of time to be in a position where you're running camps of kids in other countries sometimes.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And she is part of the since she is the leader of the junior branch, she has to also, I'm talking about Jaylen, she also has to attend these adult meetings, right? And the adults actually question her, okay, what did you do in this camp? How many kids were there? How did it go? Like, she has to report on all these things to the adult board. That's also another thing that, you know, that not every kid can do, you know?
No. A lot of kids can't give a book report, so... Kudos to you guys, and kudos to you for getting them involved.
Thank you very much. Yes, I tried. I tried my best. There you
go. Yeah, the work that my dad puts into CISV is like insane. Like,
but it all pays off.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I mean, to where we are today, I'm very thankful.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, so my last question for each of you, because you're each in different moments of your CISV career, so to speak. What's next? Where do you see yourself going with this organization? And who wants to go first?
I can go first. So this summer, I am going to be a JC like both my dad and sister. I'm going to be in Luxembourg. And then by the end of this year, in December, I'm going to be attending a seminar camp, which is basically where 16 and 17-year-olds get together and they learn how to live together with very little guidance with, I think, 4 staff members. And I will be in Argentina for that this summer. Unfortunately, between like the ages of 17 and 18, there aren't many other programs. 17 to 19, there aren't many programs you can do. So hopefully when I turn 21 or even when I turn 20, I'll be able to be a junior staff like my sister will, and hopefully maybe lead some kids eventually.
Wow, very exciting. This is, you're taking 2 big trips.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a summit.
One in summer, one in winter. The one in summer, she's a junior counselor for little kids because the program is called Village for 11 and 12-year-olds, but there's only 6 16-year-olds in that camp. Mm. The other program, the winter program, it's called Seminar Camp, 16 and 17-year-olds only, and then they will be actually running their own camp. So there's only a couple of staff, but they're like cooking for themselves. They're like doing everything for themselves, basically, and then they're doing activities, of course, for themselves. So... That's an amazing year for Jaylen, I think, with 2 programs. Yeah,
that's wild. And does this interfere with school at all? Is it a lot of additional work?
No, not at all. We have our monthly meetings, and they usually take up an hour. And then I have my own meetings that I attend with the adult board, which is also about maybe 1 to 2 hours. Then most of our mini camps are on weekends, and our, of course, summer camps are in the summer. But this winter camp will be taking up a bit more of my school time, but I am willing to do it because it is one of the most exciting programs, and I'm very excited and very happy that I got accepted because it's hard to get into these type of programs
very
sometimes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. But when I'm with the board, with our junior board, it doesn't really take up much attention from my school, and I do put a lot of attention to it anyway, so I am able to balance them both.
Fantastic.
The only thing that takes time is like when you plan for these mini camps, right? Because they have to plan how to run the activities. So it maybe takes a couple of hours.
But I have arranged that for our board to meet in the city where we find like a nice place to sit. And we sit down and we plan and everyone gets their stuff done efficiently. So it works out.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. I know. I'm bummed that I wasn't able to do Step Up because it's like the program that everyone says is the best. I actually was selected as well, but and I was supposed to go to Egypt, which would have been really cool, but I think it got canceled because of COVID. But I mean, I went to Mexico anyway, so like it was still a great summer. But my next steps, so I'm 20, I'm going to be a junior counselor in Philly.
Junior staff.
Yeah. And the next step for me is to be a leader at 21, take kids, and then give them, like, the unforgettable experience that I had when I was their age. That's when I'm 21. And then after, when I graduate college, I plan to come back and, like, rejoin the CISV New York board and take on, like, a role of maybe being a junior board advisor that is like their advisors. or maybe like a national leadership trainer that hosts these like trainings for people who will be taking on roles such as like junior counselors, leaders, staff. We were just last weekend in Denver getting trained. So yeah, but besides roles and titles, I think my like long-term goal and probably the most important is to make sure that CISV, you know, continues to grow and thrive, whether that's like recruiting new volunteers or, you know, staying involved myself. I think that's just the ultimate goal for me. Yeah, I think it's just like CISV has given me so much that I feel responsible now. I need to give back.
Yeah. That's nice. I mean, I was thinking how nice it is that they invest so much in you, but I was also thinking they're very lucky to have this family. Like, you guys are doing a lot.
I think most CIC families are very much like us, like-minded. We have
amazing volunteers in our chapter. Very, very, like, goal-oriented people. I'm very proud of all the volunteers that we have in our chapter. As for me, my next step, there's a national organization which is called CISV USA. CISV USA has maybe 20 plus chapters across the U.S. New York chapter is just one of them. There's chapters all over the place in the U.S. And there are 60 member countries. It's also an international organization. So my next step was probably to take on some role in the national organization. Maybe I can sit in the national organization as a board member there. But I will still continue to volunteer for the New York chapter because I've been doing this for 10 years. I have so much knowledge built up to this point. So I mean, they couldn't possibly do without me.
Well, he was the president. I don't think he mentioned that.
I was a past president. But yes, so that's what my plan is.
Amazing. And you guys are just so doggone ambitious. Always the next step. But it's for an amazing cause. And I've learned so much. I'm so interested in the organization. So I'm going to do some more research. I'm going to post all of the links and socials and stuff along with this. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you'd like to share about the organization, about your journey through it?
I think you got everything. Yeah. It's best experience of my life, best people I've ever met. I have friends all over the world, not just like the country, but all over the world. And I don't think many people can say that. Like if I'm in Mexico or, you know, Sweden, whatever, and I need, you know, a place to stay, I need whatever, connections, networking, I've got all of that.
Like, yes. It becomes like you become part of this global community, and you end up having friends everywhere, basically. And then you get acquainted by either through your own connections, either the connections of your family members and their friends. So it's just becomes like this big global family, and wherever you go, you just come across somebody from CISV, you know, and then you know exactly that they're the same kind of person that you are. The same, you believe in the same things, same values are there. So it's just like amazing to become part of this community, and it's open to everyone. So all they have to do is just get involved, and then meet some of us. And then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. You really do see how small of a world it is once you join the CIC community, because we were just at the training and then they'll be like, oh, you did this thing in Mexico. Do you know so-and-so? And I'll be like, yes. And then they'll be like, oh, I did this program with them 2 years ago, and now we're automatically friends. You know, so.
You build lifetime friendships, and it's amazing. I wouldn't trade anything in the world for it.
No.
The other thing that I want to say is maybe the last thing. I'm sorry, I'm taking too much of your time. The organization doesn't have a lot of resources because we are all volunteers. So there's no advertisement or anything that you can see. So the only way this organization survives since 1951 is through the word of mouth, believe it or not. So it's just like all the volunteers coming back as a second generation, third generation, to keep on going with these programs because they know the value of it. So that is the most amazing thing for me, without any, like, without any one person making money out of this, right? All volunteering work. It just survives throughout the years since 1951. So that's crazy.
It's crazy and wonderful, and it's because of people like you. And I'm personally just so grateful that you're out there living your values and putting empathy into the world that so desperately needs it right now. So thank you all for the work that you do, and thank you for being on my podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
All right, another big thank you to Tunch, Alara, and Jaylene for that wonderful conversation. My goodness, how incredible are those young women? I was so impressed by their poise and their conviction and the moral compass that just shines through. And what a proud father Tunch is. So there are a couple of great takeaways from this conversation. And the first is, well, they're almost contradictory, which is interesting to me. You know, I think about the fact that this is something that Tunch did as a teenager that is now shaping his life decades later and his daughter's lives. I mean, what a powerful legacy to leave your children. People think so much about, you know, making sure that they have money or the family home, but he has given them a legacy of values and dedication to a cause and a real purpose and meaning to their very young lives that will, I'm sure, be an anchor in theirs as much as it was in his. So I think that's incredible. And I think that there's almost like a whimsy there, you know, this one pivotal change of a young man has now grown and grown into so much more. But I'm also fascinated by the commitment and the conviction, the very opposite of whimsy, the amount of day in, day out dedication that this family has shown to this great organization and what it stands for, and how incredible it is to have a change in your life that then gives your life that shape, that purpose, that meaning, and what an important component community is in that story. This organization is not just working for a better world, and they certainly are, but they're really building communities. They are helping people learn how to be good community members, good supports to one another, and to together build the better world, because it's the only way it's going to happen. I'm so grateful for this conversation. It really had a huge impact on me. I am inspired by each and every one of these amazing individuals. I'm interested in learning more about their organization. And really, you know, when I think about the balance of components in my life, how much am I getting a strong feeling of purpose from the volunteer work that I'm doing? Something we can all think about, you know, I think we all put time and effort into building the life that we want. And there are moments when it makes sense to pause and reflect and say, am I getting out of this what I thought I would? Is this a moment to pivot? Is this a good time to try something new? And you know how I think it's always a good time to try something new. So thank you to Tunch, Alara, and Jaylene for sharing your really inspirational stories, being such amazing role models, and giving us all some inspiration to think about new ways that we might want to interact with the world. Until next time, I'm Coach Sarah, and this is Range of Change.